Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Back to the text. That is the text that is dealing with the sin unto death in 1 John 5:16 and 17. We are trying to analyze it thoughtfully, carefully, and biblically, and I hope helpfully, because that's the whole purpose in teaching God's Word. But the text says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Well, what have we seen so far? We've seen, first of all, what is the first appropriate response that we should have toward a sinning brother, that is, toward a fellow member of our local church. We assume that those who are members of our local church are, in fact, believers, though, as this very text tells us, it's possible that they are not, and this text is going to tell us one way that we can identify those who are true believers from those who are not. But we start with the assumption that a member of the church, a professing believer and member of the church, is indeed a fellow brother in Christ. He is a born-again believer, and when God makes us aware that such a person is involved in sin, then our first response is to pray for him. Talk to God about him before you talk to anybody else about him. Get on your knees about him before you do anything else. You must not ignore his sin. That would be the most unloving thing of all to do, and some people are so convoluted in their understanding of what is true love that they take the position that the most loving thing to do is just to ignore it. Don't say anything about it. Don't do anything about it. Just pretend that you're not aware of it. Well, that's not what the instructions are. The instructions are that we are to do something, and the first thing that we are to do is to pray. Now, I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, March 6th edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for joining us. And I also am so grateful for those who are aware that we are only able to continue this ministry as listeners like you help us financially. Thank you for your consideration. Well, the first thing to do is to pray. Any believer who becomes aware of another believer who is involved in sin, you observe that, you see that, God causes you to be aware of it, then the first thing you to do is to pray for him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, that is to pray, follows up the prayer language of the previous verse, he will ask, and he, God, will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. And that brings us to the solemn warning about persistent sin, and that's the whole point. Sin that people go on and on and on in and will not repent, will not stop, don't seem to be making any effort to deal with it. They're comfortable with it. That is a serious problem. We treat that far too lightly. And the first application is to examine our own hearts. What sins do you have in your life that you've become comfortable with and you treat lightly, and even though you know that it is sin, you just continue to engage in it without conviction, without repentance, without remorse, without sorrow, without an appeal to God to help you to overcome it? You just aren't concerned about it. That is a very, very, very alarming situation. That is a very dangerous manifestation that something seriously is wrong. In fact, what may be wrong is you may never have been born again at all. Ouch. But better to hear that now than to hear it after you die. So there is a solemn warning about persistent sin. There is a sin that does not lead to death, and there is a sin that leads to death. And it seems to me, and this is a difficult passage, and I don't claim to have omniscient insight into this passage, but it seems to me that what he's talking about is sin, that any sin, it's not a one particular sin, it's not doing this is the sin unto death or doing that is the sin unto death. What sin in the Bible cannot be forgiven? Adultery is not the unpardonable sin. David committed adultery and he was forgiven. Murder is not the unpardonable sin. David committed murder and was forgiven. So did Saul of Tarsus commit murder against Christians and was forgiven. There is no sin that is unpardonable if the sinner repents and seeks cleansing, seeks forgiveness, seeks pardon, and seeks freedom from the sin. Those who are troubled about their sin, those who are convicted of their sins and seek the forgiveness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, are manifesting the workings of God's grace in their heart. And that is a sin not leading to death. But sin that you will not acknowledge, sin that you will not renounce, sin that you will not confess, sin that you will not forsake, is very serious. No matter what the actual act is, any sin that you will not renounce is a very serious sin. And if you're not willing to own it, to confess it, to repent of it, to forsake it, then it is very likely that that sin, that continuation in sin, is going to lead you to eternal destruction. What a sobering reminder. But the text doesn't end there. There is a grateful refuge in the mercy of God. There is sin not leading to death. All unrighteousness is sin, verse 17, and there is sin not leading to death. All sin ought to result in death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Sin leads to death. All sin ought to result in death. But God has graciously addressed the death penalty in the giving of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ's atoning sacrifice upon the cross. He took the death penalty of sinners upon himself, that is, sinners who would trust in him, who would look to him for cleansing, for pardon. God has given us a merciful remedy for our sins. And we should be grateful for the refuge that God has provided by his mercy. There is a sin not leading to death. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And God has revealed the way of forgiveness. Sins that are acknowledged and confessed are forgiven. Sinners are forgiven and reconciled, that is, restored to God. Even at the beginning, initial repentance and faith leads to a life of repentance and faith. Do you understand that? repenting of sin and coming to Christ in the initial response of faith to the gospel results in a life of repentance and faith. We continue to acknowledge our sin. We continue to confess our sin. We continue to be troubled about our sin, to be sorrowful for our sin. We continue to seek cleansing from our sins and help to overcome our sins. We continue to believe God's word regarding our sin. We accept what God's word says about it rather than reject the word of God and stubbornly continue in it and deny what the Bible says about our sin. We repent of our sins. And those who do are the ones who have life. That life is given to them. That life is extended to them. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. But there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray for it. Well, there's a lot of things that we can take away from this text. This text would be one of many that speaks against the artificial division of sins into two categories of venial and mortal. There's no biblical basis for that. The idea that venial sins are less serious and absolution is available, but mortal sins are more serious and are fatal. Absolution is impossible. That's not what this is teaching. In fact, it's teaching just the opposite. There is no sin from which one may not be forgiven if he will repent, if he will confess, if he will acknowledge, if he will forsake. All sin is sin that may be forgiven if the sinner is willing to deal with it God's way, but all sin leads to eternal death if the sinner is unwilling to deal with it. That's what this is teaching. But what it's teaching us, actually, is that our response to sin reveals the condition of our hearts. A desire to confess and forsake sin is a mark of a true believer. Unwillingness to acknowledge and confess sin is the mark of a pretender. Sin unto death is sin committed by unbelievers. Professing to be a Christian, pretending to be a Christian, but having never been born again. Sin not unto death is sin committed by true believers. And those sins are forgiven because those who commit such sins are repenting of them. They are lifelong repenters, and they continually bring their sins before the throne of grace to acknowledge them, to confess them, to seek forgiveness for them. And we are taught here that intercessory prayer is a powerful means to help others. In addition to our personal relationship with God and our personal reading of God's word and the personal work of the Holy Spirit within the heart of true believers, the intercessory prayer of others is also used of God to help us. And that's God's provision to partner with Him in His redemptive purposes. And therefore, what this text is teaching us is, number one, that we ought to confess sin in our own life, and number two, we should pray for fellow believers that God will convict them of their sins and restore them to His fellowship. It is a very important, sobering, but encouraging text of Scripture. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.